Well, I'm thrilled this morning to be joined by two film lovers and film advocates and longtime supporters and organizers of the Kalamazoo Film Society here in West Michigan. They are president of the Kalamazoo Film Society, Mike Marchek, and incoming president, Dara Strauss. Dara and Mike, thank you both for joining me here on WMUK.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I'm hoping this will be a regular check-in to see what's happening in independent film in West Michigan and the films that the Kalamazoo Film Society brings for everyone to sample and check out.
We'd love it.
Well, I'm looking forward to that. We're going to start with the October slate today. But before we get to that, Mike, could you tell me a little about your experience with the Kalamazoo Film Society and why becoming an advocate for independent film is something you wanted to do?
Yeah, that film has always been a big part of my life. It's always been a passion. I worked in science for a living, but film is what I did on the outside. So, I mean, I love learning about the new ones. I've been following film ever since I was a kid. I'm the oldest of 10. I grew up in the 50s, and television was kind of like a babysitter for us. And I sat in front of these programs that were just local in the Detroit area that were older films. And somebody that was a host always had like a small connection to the business somehow. And so then they would show these films from the 20s or the 30s or the 40s, and I'd be glued. So, and it's never really waned over the years.
You appreciated a small amount of curation then from the beginning, or someone just introducing.
Yeah, I got weaned early. And then when I was in college, I saw my first Bergman film, and that changed everything. So, you know, these films are still being made by very talented filmmakers. Each time I think it's going to get a little bit dull. All of a sudden, I'm looking at the new films coming out for the current season, and all of a sudden, I get excited again. So this is just another way of me getting excited again about the new slate of films coming up. So,
was it ever a temptation to buy a camera and start filming yourself?
Or? You know, no, I guess the same thing. Dara does that. She can talk more about that. For me, it's like music. I love music. It's another passion, but I don't play an instrument. I mean, I played a couple, but not well. So,
is it akin to learning a language, ways to
somewhat,
understand
yes,
how film
you know,
works?
I mean, you can appreciate as a listener, I think, without actually being a performer. So I look the same way in film, I think. You know, so.
Well, I'm same to you, Dara. Your passion for film, how did that come about?
Yeah, well, that came a little different than Mike's, except there's a Bergman film that when I first went to college and saw one, I thought, oh my goodness, you could make films like this. But I went more in the documentary way direction. Mm-hmm. So I've been a documentary filmmaker, independent. I'm retired from Kalamazoo College, where I taught video production, documentary filmmaking, and also was a creative artist for the college, too.
So at a granular level, step by step, what's going on that screen.
Exactly. I love editing, and you just spend hours and hours nitpicking, which I guess I like to do because I did a lot of that. But then the Film Society were great supporters of me, too. And when they were in the little theater, they had several screenings of my work when they I think they donated the cost of the rental for me and helped me promote showing my documentaries. And we had great audiences for my films.
We did. Yeah. Sellouts.
Sellouts, yeah.
Right. Part of the history of the Kalamazoo Film Society includes celebrating local filmmakers.
Well, that was always part of our mission. First was to bring the films to town that wouldn't normally come. And the second one is to give local filmmakers an opportunity to have a big screen, just have others see their film at the same time.
Mm-hmm. Right. Over time, the venues have changed, but there's a partnership happening right now for the last several years with cinema in Portage, mm-hmm. Celebration Cinema. Mm-hmm. And how does that work?
Well, really well.
It's been fantastic.
To give you an example, we, right now, with our slate of 4 films in September, we've offered 33 films through them this year. And
we've
got 3 months to go yet. So the opportunities with them have just been extraordinary. And they've been such great collaborators. They bend over backwards for us, and it's such a beautiful relationship that I hope it continues, which I don't see why it wouldn't. But anyhow, we were at the Little Theater for a number of years, 16 or 17 years, where we showed in 35 millimeter. And to make a long story short, the whole industry switched over to digital projection in 2013. We didn't have the money for a new projector because you have to revamp your system. At the time, and Alamo was opening up at the time, and James Sanford was a creative manager there, and he and I had worked together all through the years of the Little Theater offerings. So
another great fan of film.
Yeah, and so next thing you know, we're talking with Austin, the headquarters, and we worked out a relationship with them. But on a good year with Alamo, we'd show 17 films, 18 films. I mean, we're doubling that at Celebration now. And I think that's what makes it so exciting.
It does. And I want to kind of speak to that. I wasn't on the board when they were at the Little Theater. But several people have come up to me and said, and to all of us board members, and said, wow, we really miss the atmosphere at the Little Theater. Well, I understand that because, yeah, you go in and you know half the audience. You know, they're your friends or acquaintances. And we don't have that at Crossroads. But back then, it was all run by volunteer. Mike was there, I think, every single night.
Yeah,
and there were a couple showings every night. Yeah. So he was there the whole time, as well as all the other board members would come and go. And then they'd only show probably 10 or 12 a year.
Yeah, 12, 13 maybe.
And now we have 33.
Yeah.
So I say, if you want an atmosphere, just bring a lot of your friends and go and see the film.
Yeah. I had someone ask me or tell me one time that I don't see the old faces like I used to, but I'm seeing a lot more of your movies now because of the way it's being offered.
You could argue an accessibility improvement too, because it's anyone who walks in and reads the list of films that day and takes a chance on one of the Kalamazoo Film Society picks.
That's right. It's on Celebration's website, too.
Yeah.
So, you know, so you go and see what's playing. So besides...
Right. And that's something I'd like to point out to listeners right now.
Okay.
You can find the tickets available now at Celebration's website or through calfilmsociety.net. There's a click on a ticket button right there.
Right.
So you've made it very, very simple.
Mm-hmm. We're trying.
And if you want to follow along right now, all of the current... now showing films are posted right there. And just to remind listeners, I'm with Mike Marchek and Dara Strauss, and they're longtime members of the Kalamazoo Film Society. Currently, Mike is the president and has been for...
long time.
And I guess it's maybe not super well known, but Dara does plan to take the reins in the new year.
It'll be tough shoes to fill,
but
Mike's will be around.
Yeah, I'll be around. My fingerprints are still there.
Yeah, I know his phone number.
Yeah, that's true.
Could I hear a little bit about how you pick the films you pick? Even though there seems like there's more than ever, people are producing
horrifying stuff. Okay, that. You know, I always have a wish list, always have. And living in Kalamazoo, not always can you fill it in unless you're in a big city somewhere. So this is our way of trying to bring the big city offerings to Kalamazoo. And so we'll show, a good example, the 4 films that were shown this month as part of our indie series, 3 of the 4 are international films. I mean, the only really made in the USA film is this Give Me Liberty. But then it's done by a Russian director. So there's still an international
right.
flair there. And but we're giving people an opportunity to see things that maybe you'd only have a chance to see, you know, at the Film Society at Lincoln Center, even though I don't think they're using Society anymore. It's just Film at Lincoln Center or the Angelica or, you know, the IFC in New York, you know. So we got an opportunity to see them right here at Celebration with their great digital projection and their great sound system.
So that's one great reason. The films that you're providing here otherwise wouldn't be showing.
They wouldn't.
Right. Yeah. And you also see them, like Mike said, in this beautiful venue on the big screen. You know, a lot of people now are watching even films on their iPhones. I mean, my goodness. But to be in the theater, to have a shared experience with other people, to have the huge image, whether it's beautiful or poignant or upsetting, but it's there, the big image and the great sound. You cannot get that experience anyplace else.
Yeah, can't do that at home.
You can't do that at home.
Sometimes I just want to watch a movie that it just gives me a nice, pleasant, comforting feeling.
Right.
And then go to bed. And other times, I read up a little and learn that this director has a really specific point of view, something to get across. And those are the ones that stick with me longer. And I like to chat with my friends about those. Sometimes knowing that a film is in a different language can make me wonder whether I should just go the easy route or give it a shot. How do you talk to people about
that? I've always
said,
if a story grabs you, you'll not even realize you're reading. And I think a lot of those stories grabs you early. And so then next thing you know, it's not an imposition. Your eye is so easily trained to flash to the image and then down to the script below that pretty soon you do it at operas, you know.
That's true.
Yeah, even though they're higher. it's just something that I think you'd be surprised at how well you get adjusted to. And the reason why I would point out interest there is that there's so many talented filmmakers all around the world, and you wouldn't have a chance to see their work if there weren't subtitles. You could go back to the dub days, but that was such a terrible time where the lips never, match the words coming out. It's just terrible,
I often have to tell myself, I often do tell myself, once, every time you've broken out of your comfort zone, Kara, you usually have a really good time.
Really, like Mike says, it just becomes automatic. Yeah. I don't even think about it that I'm reading. It's just.
What about divergent viewpoints, films from other cultures, ways of life? Does that have an effect on?
Yeah, well, actually, that's a good lead into one of the films that's showing right now. It's Forsama, and it's a documentary, so it's near and dear to my heart. But it's about the uprising in Aleppo back in 2016. It is by a woman filmmaker, and she is recording her own experience as it happens through this horrific uprising. She's a journalist and a filmmaker. She gives birth to Sama during the film. Her husband is a doctor who is running a hospital. At one point, their hospital is bombed, and he has to find another place for the patients. It's a very heart-wrenching documentary to see as it's happening. You hear the bombs coming in, but it's also very, very funny scenes in it. At one point during the wedding, they play Crazy, the song Crazy.
Patsy Cline?
Yeah, Patsy Cline. It's not Patsy, but when there's a lot of poignancy, and it's complicated too. So, but to be in the middle of a war zone and to look at this once was beautiful old historic town or city in ruins.
She's something a remarkable person for. But being a filmmaker, having a baby, and living through
exactly, it's a very wonderful film.
You can find tickets for Forsama online at calfilmsociety.net and click on the buy tickets link, or if you visit the Portage Celebration Cinema website, it's there as well.
Right, perfect.
And the times and things like that.
Yes.
So Forsama,
that's one. Yeah, we got three others too.
Well, I'm going to let you take the next one.
Okay, there's one that I'm going to point out. It's called Tel Aviv on Fire. I was up at the Traverse City Film Festival this summer, and I had an opportunity to see it then, and I really loved it. And I thought there was an opportunity to bring it here, I would. It's a comedy, but with a very underlying social message. It's set in Ramallah in the West Bank, and it's a Palestinian soap opera that became the crux for the story. And the writer actually lives in Israel, so he has to cross the checkpoint every day. And he ends up, well, he's not really the writer at first. He's just a bumbling production assistant. But anyhow, he ends up falling into it because his uncle is one of the producers of the show. So as it turns out, now I know a soap opera is not going to bring the two sides together. You know, that's not going to broker any type of deal. But it shows the humanity on both sides. It's a joint production between Palestinians and Israelis. And they get to both tell their sides. And there's a beautiful line in it that I think is so poignant. And it's not blowing it for anybody because they put it in the trailer, if you watch the trailer. But the line is there nothing between bombs and surrender? And I just think that sums up that whole situation. I mean, if you can in a short sentence. But so anyhow, Tel Aviv on Fire, that's the name of the soap opera, and that's where the title comes from. And it's set just a week before the 1967 war. So obviously, it's got a pro-Palestinian title, but then Israelis get involved too. Anyhow, I think it's a lot of fun. If you have a chance, go see it. Mm.
An Israeli writing stories for a Palestinian soap opera?
Yes, and it's pretty funny the way that's done, too. And it becomes a favorite for a lot of Israeli families. So there's almost a common bond over this Palestinian soap opera. So it sounds kind of, unusual, but it's also ironic at the same time.
Oh, there's almost a thesis there about reality can change based on the stories we tell ourselves.
Yeah, that's right. So I think you can walk away with something to discuss and yet have a lot of fun watching it.
We're talking about the slate at the Kalamazoo Film Society, which is showing films at Celebration Cinema throughout October. And this is the first chance I've had to talk to President Mike Marchak and future President Dara Strauss. And they'll be back at the end of this month to talk about November's offerings as well. But why don't we hear about another of the four currently showing? Did you say four?
Yeah. Mike's seen...
Yeah, I've also seen Give Me Liberty. Our October slate just started last Friday. And there's one of the four that hasn't begun yet, and that's the film Monos, M-O-N-O-S, and that doesn't begin until the 18th.
Is there a reason for that?
Yeah, Neon has it. Neon just released it in the beginning of October. It's brand new. When you do a limited release, a smaller studio like Neon, they watch to see what kind of crowds they have in the bigger cities, and then they wait sometimes before they release it. And this isn't wide by any means, but release it to the smaller cities. Mm-hmm. And so maybe, I don't know if I mentioned this off air, but the Michigan Theater is also opening with it the same day we are. Now, they're the premier independent theater in the state, and they get their stuff first. Mm-hmm. You know, it's always been the case. Well, now we're on par with them, you know, with this film. And this film... neither one of us have seen it, but if you watch the trailer, it looks amazing. I mean, people have compared it to Apocalypse Now. As far as the writing aspect goes, it's called like a cross between Lord of the Flies and Conrad's Heart of Darkness. So with all those themes going, it's set in a nondescript Latin American country, but it was shot in Colombia. This is a Colombian director, and you have a bunch of these child soldiers who consider themselves guerrillas, and they kidnap an American hostage and take her into the jungle, and then the story begins. And the actress that plays the American, the kidnapped American, is Julianne Nicholson, if you know her, and she's a terrific actress. She's very talented. So it's a very unusual story for her to get involved with, and we talked about our music composers off here too, and there's this one up-and-coming music composer that did the score for it, and her name is Micah Levy, and she's terrific. You catch on to her stuff, so if you go see Monos, pay attention to the soundtrack, because she makes the scenes even more chilling than they are.
But this film doesn't come on until October 18th, but right. We have another one here right now. Yep. Give Me Liberty.
We can talk about Give Me Liberty. That's on right now. Another comedy with a social message. So this one is all shot in Milwaukee, but it's
really
shot with, there's I guess, a sizable Russian community there. So the story takes place with a handicapped van driver, and he's only 25. He's not sure what he wants to do in life, but he's getting all this pressure put on him, but all the people he has to pick up every day and ferry off to their locations. And so then he's trying to appease the Russian community. He's having problems in his apartment he shares with his grandfather. And anyhow, it's such a delightful story. I haven't seen an independent film shot here with so much creativity in quite a long time. I mean, I'm really impressed with this guy's work. I don't know what he's going to do next, but I'll be watching.
I haven't seen it, but they've been playing the trailer at Celebration. Mm-hmm. It is so much fun. Mm-hmm. It is so chaotic and heartrending, and it was just wonderful. So,
it's called Give Me Liberty.
Give Me Liberty. And it takes place, and this is a real location in Milwaukee. It's called the Eisenhower Center for a lot of developmentally challenged people. And so those are a lot of times are his clients that he has to move around town, either from their location to the center itself and back.
Yeah. I'm really hearing your love of cinema in this conversation.
And you just don't see stories like this come around. I mean, Hollywood's not going to give you a story like this. This is a story that's very genuine, got a lot of humanity in it, and a lot of warmth.
We could probably talk for another hour about what Hollywood has done to adjust to current days and the superhero movie trends and things like that. Mm-hmm. But your focus is stories that otherwise wouldn't be seen or get told, being shown here in West Michigan. The website is calfilmsociety.net, where you can read about the films and or buy tickets to these showings at Celebration Cinema.
I should mention, Kara, with our indie series, we hold all four films for the entire month. And each film gets one showing a day, and they try to rotate the showings. So if you don't have an opportunity to see one this week, you could have a chance to see it the following week. There are also a limited release on all of them, so you never know how big of a crowd you're going to attract. So that's why we limit it to one showing a day.
How do you become a member of the Kalamazoo Film Society?
Well, go to our website. There's a form that you can download and then send it in, or you can do it through PayPal now, too.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yep. Very good. Yeah. CalFilmSociety.net.
Yeah, and when you're a member, you get great discount on the tickets. So, right.
But only for our films. Okay.
No,
there have been times where they're going, when I want to get the discount on.
Hollywood still wants the full price for...
No. You can't touch the Avengers in any type of reduced rate. So.
Well, I think we are nearing the end of our chat today. Okay. We've looked at four of these films, three currently showing and one starting on the 18th, and that is the one set in Colombia, which is called Monos.
Right.
And more stories to come next month. The one question that was still rocking around in my brain pan is just, can I ask you how you experience a film for the first time as such experienced film watchers and makers on your part, Dara? Do you use a sort of mental checklist? Do you notice the score right away? Is it different for every single movie?
That's a good question. For me, it's the story. But
story
all those
first.
The other elements that come into it, are important. But it's the story for me.
For me, I'm aware of all the different contributions that come. Obviously, I have some that are more important contributors than the others, but you need everyone to finally get this film out on the screen. But I want to learn something when I go into a movie. I want to still be able either to laugh or cry or anything else, but I always am drawn to films about relationships because this is where I think you learn something not only about yourself, but about others around you. I mean, I don't care about the special effects films. They all are starting to look the same now, too. But it's the stories. It's the human interest stories that draw me. So, and then there's so many contributors, whether it be the writing, whether it be the visuals, the scenes you see, whether it be the direction, whether it be the composition of film, music that goes with it. There's some, and the cinematography, too. I mean, there's so many contributions that make a film a wonderful experience.
Mike Marchak and Dara Strauss, thank you very much for sharing the slate of October films with us on WMUK.
Thank you so
much. Thank you, Kara.
Okay, my choice. I'll find some Michael Levy for next time, maybe.
Yes, yes, yes.
But here's some music from Fahrenheit 451. Okay. Bernard Herrmann wrote the score to this Truffaut film, I believe. And it is scored for strings, harp, and percussion in the way only Herrmann could. So let's hear it.
He was one of the greatest.